They're always ready.
They're already excited and ready. So welcome to the rest of it. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And since I know that there is a birthday for Haley, she will be turning the big three. So we will get ready. But happy birthday to Haley. Thank you very much, Haley, and happy birthday this coming week. May you have a really, really good celebration. Today, please notice the prayer list. I have a couple of names to it as well. Sue, we're glad that you've made it up the coast and that you're back with us. And another smiling face. I do want you to please note all the persons that are on the prayer list and continue to remember them. And I want to call your attention to a few more persons that are on the list. And so you will see the name James Smith. I'm going to give you a story behind James Smith. Also, since I gave you the email. And thanks for getting him in. I'm sure I'm telling you this. Miles Compton. Miles Compton. And also, I want you to lift up Aaron Reeves, and I'll tell you a little something about all three of these persons as I give you an update on another two people. As you know, Aubrey Vickers is in the hospital right now, and he is in Maine Duke on floor 83. I believe it's 8314 is the room. Was able to visit with Aubrey Friday morning, and the Aubrey was in having some chest pain, had a lot of fluid. Well, still building up. So he's still receiving dialysis three times a week. But he needed to have some extra help to get some of this fluid off. Of course, they've also been testing to see that the fluid, they want to make sure that there weren't any heart.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing? Good morning. Hey, hey, how you doing? Hey, buddy. Yeah, let me give you a hello. There you go, buddy. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Yeah.
I'm learning.
All right. So, with Aubrey, they wanted to rule out that what kind of heart was going to be. And they've been able to pretty much rule that out. It's still been very, very long. Very much the same in terms of her progress said, my father, and this is James Smith, said, my father's in the VA right now. And would you pray for him? I said, we'll do one better than that. I said, would you like for us to, I said, we were, I'm at Berea. I've had a church. Would you like for us to put your father on prayer so that we can have a whole congregation of prayer for him? She said, absolutely. I said, would you like to have prayer right now here in the hospital, right here in front of the elevator? She said, yes. Never let an opportune moment, one of God's appointments, pass you by. Take advantage of it when God presents you. Miles Compton, you will not know. He is one of my trombone buddies from Elon, and he was there for a period of time when we were in the jazz band and that and other. He has recently been in the hospital in Heston, in Virginia, around Galax area. Recently had some surgery for lung cancer. They thought that they pretty much were able to get it. Most of it was still kind of waiting to see on that. But it has some complications. So please remember him, if you would, as he continues to make his recovery. And then Henry reminded me this morning, all of y'all know Erin Reams. I don't know if she's in a situation where she may be facing some surgery. We'll see what's going on. Does anybody have any information on her? And we'll see if we can find out some more. But I'm gonna play it safe, and I'm going to say let's pray for her anyway. And I'm not sure what the specifics are. But please add Eric to your prayer list. Okay, with that being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will proceed with the Lord. Father, we are thankful that we can come into your house today, that we can hear the joy of children, that we can also look at the realities of life, and we know that pain and suffering and all types of challenges are in the mix with that joy, that all of it is part of life as we know it. But dear Lord, we know in the midst of all of this, you are there. You are here. You are with us. And so this morning, dear Lord, we approach the throne of grace. We lift up each person that is on this prayer list, and we will lift them up not only today, but throughout this coming week. Dear Lord, we are thankful for your blessings, for your mercies, and for your grace, and most definitely for your love, which is unconditional and unending. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hey, Bobby. My kid left a note up there. Could you mind reading it?
Sure. I'll be glad to do that. I'll be glad to do that.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, I hadn't been up there to see it. Okay, this is from Mike and Lori. May kindness return to you in the same beautiful way that it was given. Our Berea family, words cannot express how much we love and appreciate all of you. Thank you for the calls, the visits, the texts, the emails, the food, the love gifts, and especially the prayers. 2019 was tough for us, and 2020 has been quite bumpy as well. But we'll get through it, and having your love and support certainly helps. Please keep the prayers coming, and you all are in our prayers as well. We love you, Lori and Mike, and I can assure you the love goes both ways. Thank you very much.
Our opening hymn this morning will be 652, Jesus Loves Me. We'll sing the first and last verse of Jesus Loves Me. Let us stand and sing together.
Jesus loves me.
Dear Lord, the Bible does tell us that Jesus loves us. And throughout the Old and the New Testament, we are reminded that God's love continues. And that it was there then, it is here now, and it will be here tomorrow. Dear Lord, we ask that you take these gifts and these offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody would kind of come up here to the front. We will get started. I got something in this bag, and I need y'all's help. Here we go. Y'all ready? Let's come here and have a seat. Here we go. All right. Y'all give me a hand here. We got two in the diaspora there.
All right.
Well, I'm going to lose this. I'm going to leave that right here for right now. All right, now, I'm going to... Oh, you do? You got a penny there. All right, buddy. I like it, buddy. All right, y'all help me here now. I'm going to pull something out. Y'all help me out. What have I got? This is a Bible. Okay, I have one of them. Okay, now let me do something else. Now I have how many? One. This is another. So now I have how many? Two. Ah, now I have another one, and that's how many? One, two, three. All right, now I got another one, and that gives me what?
Four.
Now, here's why I wanted to bring these out. Y'all been studying about how God created everything, and that story is found in the Bible. And today, we are talking about day number four. Now, I'm going to help y'all out here. Oh. All right, guys. Now, what have I got on?
Beach glasses.
I do. I got beach glasses. That's exactly right. These are beach glasses. And they help with the what?
Sun.
That's right. That's right. So I want to show y'all something. And I better take these off so I can see it. All right. Now, I want to show y'all something. I'm going to give each one of you this. Okay. Yeah. We got some stuff here. So here. Here. All right. Here. Here you go. Here. Oh, yeah. There we go. One for you, one for you. got some things here. All right. It's good. It's good. Now, anybody know what that is? That's a number four. That's right. We're talking about day number four. Yeah. And there's a moon. And what else is there? A sun. Because on day four, God created the sun and the moon. And there's a smiley face. Why? Because God created it and it was what? It was good. So we're smiling and God's smiling as well. And so look, I put the word for God at the bottom. Now, can you tell me what letter that is? That's a G. Yeah, that's a O. And that's a
D.
That's right. And that's the word for God. Now, we're all happy because we have the sun and the moon alive. And we're happy to be here in church today. And guess what? It's now time for part two, right? So let's see ice. So everybody, let's see if we can line up again the way we did the last time.
Get in a line.
All right. I think y'all can do it. I think you can do it. There we go. There we go. First down. All right. Ready? Yeah, hold on. There you go. There you go. Here's some more. If you do. There you go. There you go. All right. We don't have Jim Jones today, so I will leave these here. If you would, please, be turning to Ecclesiastes. So find Proverbs and keep going, and you will find Ecclesiastes. Today, we're talking about sowing seeds. And it's always interesting to be able to show how the Old Testament and the New Testament go together. And so this passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 11 reminds us of how the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together. And so I want to begin with chapter 11, verse 4. It goes like this. One who watches the wind will not sow, and the one who looks at the clouds will not reap. In other words, there are a lot of things that prevent us from doing what we intend to do. That's another way of interpreting that verse. There are a lot of things that come up, might derail us, might put us on another path. So one who watches the wind will not sow, and the one who looks at the clouds will not necessarily reap. Just as you don't know the path of the wind or how bones develop in the womb of a pregnant woman, so also you don't know the work of God who makes everything. Here's the point of this. Now with science, we're getting to where we know more and more and more and more. But here's the thing that we don't know. God works in ways that we don't always see. God is present in situations that we're not always aware that God is there. God works before us in things that we can see, but God works for us and things that we're not aware of. And too often we get discouraged and we don't realize that God is still there. God is in the midst of those storms that we face. And then this next verse is so critical. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, do not not let your hand rest. In other words, continually work with it. And here's what I like so much about this verse. Because you don't know which will succeed, whether one or the other, or if both of them will be equally good. In other words, follow what God is asking you to do. Be faithful, be diligent, and God will bless the harvest. It might be one thing, it may be many things, but the idea is to keep planting. So may we indeed plant the seeds of the gospel continuously.
Our second hymn this morning will be 456, How Firm a Foundation. We'll sing the first and last verses of 456. Let us stand and sing.
If you would now turn to Luke chapter 4. I understand I've been sowing but not watering. This thing wasn't turned on. So now it's on. And hopefully we can continue to do what we need to be doing this morning. So Luke chapter 8. We're going to be looking at four of the parables of Jesus as we move towards Easter. And this first one is one of my favorites. And when we were divvying up things, Phil and I agreed. He said, well, you do the sower then. I said, I'll be happy to. And so Phil will follow up next week with one of his favorite parables. But this is one I've always liked. It is a very basic story. And Jesus used stories to connect people with important events in life, but connect God to those events. And so we have this parable of the sower. And this is really, to be honest with you, this is about evangelism. This is about discipleship. It's about how we grow physically and spiritually. And so let's take a look at this parable. And by the way, this parable appears in all three of the synoptic gospels. Synoptic meaning similar. So that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, those of you that will oftentimes hear stories about there being other gospels, there were other gospels that did not make it into the New Testament. And one of those was the Gospel of Thomas. And you'll also find the parable of the sower there as well. So if anybody tries to derail you, or tries to confuse you about saying that there are more things. Yes, they were. And this story was in it. And it tells us something very, very important. This is one of the most important, one of the more important stories that Jesus told, because we have it in more than one place. And so it reminds us of the significance of what he had to say. So chapter 8, verse 4. As a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from every town, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path. It was trampled upon, and the birds of the sky devoured it. Why? Because it was easy. It was right there. Other seed fell on the rock. When it grew up, it withered away since it lacked moisture. Now that doesn't surprise us. How oftentimes when you're walking, you see some cracked pavement or a crack in your driveway and there's grass growing what? Through there. We see it all the time. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up with it and choked it. Think about what these thorns are doing. Oftentimes we tend the soil to remove the thorns. That tells us a lot about how we tend to things. Verse 8. Still other seed fell on good ground, and when it grew up, it produced a fruit 100 times what was sown. So a bountiful harvest, fruit bearing. Then Jesus said, let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Now, let me ask you something. We all got ears, right? And provided we're not having hearing issues, we can hear. But do we always hear? Let me give you a classic example. I think I shared this with some of you earlier. A couple of weeks ago, y'all noticed that I got a haircut. I do about every 4 months. a little bit. And when I was getting ready to leave to go get the haircut, Jesse happened to be at the house, and I said, Jesse, I'm going to get a haircut. He looked at me and asked, why? Why do I need a haircut? I wasn't hearing him at first. I kind of looked perplexed. And then it dawned on me that it was because, you know, I ought to get a discount when I go. Because there's a you actually did that one time, and the person did give me a discount. It really did. But we don't always hear what's being said. We don't always take it in. And what Jesus was wanting people to know, if you would look at the next couple of verses, he's talking about God's kingdom, God's rule, God's reign on earth. That's the message that you want to hear. And that's why the planting of that seed is so important. Because look at how Jesus interprets this parable. So let's jump to verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed along the path are those that have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. In other words, things can be snatched and taken away if they don't take root. A lot of things we hear in one ear and it goes right out the other. It's a pass-through. And the seed on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Having no root, these believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing. What's the guarantee in that verse? You will be tested. None of us are immune from that. Just because we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior does not mean we will not suffer. It does not mean that things will happen that we wish didn't happen, because life will continue on. But the planting of that seed, the nurturing of that seed, the growth of that seed, the maturing of that seed is what's so critical when those times of testing come, and they will come. Verse 14, as for the seed that fell among thorns, these are the ones who, when they have heard, go on their way and are choked with worries, riches, and pleasures of life, and produce no mature fruit. Another way of saying this is this. Jesus reminded us, you can't serve more than one. one master. You can try. You can try. And if you try to multitask, you know what I'm talking about. Very difficult. Really, it's impossible. But the seed and the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it, and by enduring, produce fruit. So here's my question. Are we sowing the seed being the gospel? Has it taken root in us? Are we producing fruit? And are we preparing others to receive that word and to nurture it and to bear fruit? God bless the reading of this parable.
You with thorns, as old and old. Stories are important. Stories are part of the fabric of life. And Jesus told stories for a good reason. We remember good stories. He wanted to tell us about the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God had arrived. That the kingdom of God is here. And that we can be a part of it. And so I think about different stories throughout our lives and how they impact us. So how many of us remember Green Eggs and Ham and Sam I Am? Okay. Brought a lot of smiles, a lot of joy, because there are a lot of good memories associated with that story. How many of you remember that little train that could? I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, and finally, I know I can. Now that's that one about the thorns. That's a good one to remember when we encounter those thorns in our lives. Quality control is a critical issue. David Jeremiah tells a story about Tim Nybo. Tim Nybo was a business major. Decided that he wanted to get into international trade, import-export business. And remember when the iPads first came out, everybody had to have one. And he decided that he had a little bit of seed money, about $5,000. He wanted to go to China. He wanted always wanted to visit China. And so he was going to go to China, and they were going to put together these covers that you have for the iPads. And then they were going to sell them, you know, to a company and try to pick up on that wave. So he spent all the money he had on these covers. He made one costly mistake. When they arrived, they were in good shape, but then he fitted, and they fit the iPad. What had he neglected to consider? You know the little buttons you have that you got to press? Well, if it's not open to where you can press it, it's not going to do you much good, is it? Do you think he was successful? No. He lost his shirt. Lost everything in it. A lot of times it's those small details that make all the difference, and they matter. And here was a case where it did. Let me tell you something else about some of the harshness of life. Anybody ever heard of a writer by the name of Elie Wiesel? Does that name ring a bell for anyone? There's a book that's called Night. If you want to read something that will really grab you and really cause you to think, read this book. Elie Wiesel is a Holocaust survivor. He was a teenager while he was in the concentration camps. The story Night is about his survival in that camp. Very gripping story about what we as humans can and do to each other. Then you also, I remember an account that opportunity that I had when I was at Emory, when I was in graduate school doctoral program. We had a course called CP400. It was a commons program course. And in that, we were looking at the history of anti-Semitism. This was a very interesting course because it was team taught by three faculty members. One of the faculty members was an ethicist. The other was a Jewish rabbi. And the other was a German theologian from Germany. Very interesting course. Very interesting dynamics that were brought up. Again, the power of stories and events which transform lives. Then I also think of another person, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Anybody ever heard of that person? You may remember a book called The Cost of Discipleship. Very well-known text. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian, wrote that. And he talked about the price we pay to sow the seeds of the gospel. Bonhoeffer had got out of Germany when things were getting really rough. He came to the United States for a while and served several churches in the Bronx in New York. And he was actually working with an African-American church at that time. He, as the events in Germany continued to escalate, he went back. He became part of the resistance. And he also played a role in the Valkyrie plot to take down Hitler. He was imprisoned as a result of his activities. And in 1945, literally months before the end of the war, he was executed. Sowing seeds, the cost of discipleship. And one of the main themes of the cost of discipleship is beware of cheap grace. Because the grace that we receive and the mercy that we receive has been paid with very high prices. It's precious. But may we give it and receive it and value it. And see, this is what I think Jesus is trying to help us to see in the parable of the sower. When I look at that, I think about the four outcomes. Sometimes, you know, the seed's just thrown out on the path. You just throw it out. A lot of things I look at is kind of how we look at something when it's free. When it's given to us free, do we really see the value in it? Often we don't. Oh, that's free. I'll take it. Just kind of thrown out on the path. Not really valued. In one ear, out another. Some of the path that was sown on the rocky soil, there was some soil with the rocks, and it kind of sprung up, but it didn't have deep roots. It kind of reminds us how we do things. How many of us can get real excited and gung-ho about something? You go to something, you get really inspired, you're really uplifted. How long does it last? There's that parable again. It's very powerful. A lot of times it doesn't last. Or, what about those thorns? How many gardeners, any gardeners in here? Any people that like to work with plants and flowers and things? Okay, all right. No. Oh, all right, Dennis. All right, Dennis, you're on the spot there. To keep a good garden, what do you got to do? Keep it clean, which means the weeds and thorns and all that kind of stuff. If you don't keep it clean, they're going to come in and they're going to mess you up, correct? See? It happens. It's a reality. But sometimes the seed hits fertile ground. It really takes root. Think of it this way. When the gospel, when you really hear it, what does it do to you? It wrecks you, and it changes your life. And the reason you will know it changes your life, because the life you will lead after that is different. You're bearing fruit at that point. So you see, Jesus knew what he was talking about. He's wanting to drive home this thing. Not everyone who hears will receive it or follow through. But we're still asked to do what? Sow the seed. Hence the title of this sermon, Are We Sowing Seed? And that's something each one of us are part of. We sow that seed. Now, when Jesus goes on to interpret it, he talks about a few things. In the interpretation, he talks about those who reject it. Now, here's the thing. If you share the gospel, is everyone going to be happy to hear you? No. Might you be criticized? Yeah. Might you be made fun of? Might somebody want to argue with you? Might someone want to say, get out of my way, in my sight? Yeah. That can happen. And because of that, we tend sometimes not to want to what? Share. But here's the point. Let's be mindful of this. If God presents us with an opportunity, I don't believe God's going to abandon us, even if it's a little unpleasant. You know? The opportunity was there. The second one. A lot of times things sound good. We receive the word, I'm going to follow this. But too much into it? Am I going to follow through? Am I going to do it? If this is easy to do, then I'll what? Do it. It's easy to praise God when everything is going great. Do we praise God during the storms? Do we praise God during the heartaches? Because they're going to come. And they're going to be there. But God's word and his promises are strong enough to see us through it if we can let it take root in who we are. Now, we all have some difficulties sometimes. Now, this third instance, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they pretty much rejected, for the most part, not all, but for the most part, rejected Jesus' message. Remember when he talks about the disciples that they had, and then some of them fell away? And they were wondering what was happening. Those are those first two categories. Later on, I'm going to preach a parable on the rich young ruler. What was the issue with the rich young ruler? Jesus. He couldn't let go of his possessions. Couldn't let go of them. Here's the question for us. What do we have difficulty letting go of? That was part of one of the things that when we asked you to do the cards the other week. Where does God maybe need to have some work on each one of us in our lives? Another way of saying that is, what might I need to let go of and allow God to help me with it? Because it's very difficult to have divided loyalties. But then you have the thing of when it really takes root. Takes root and transforms our lives, then we see it in the way we look at each other. You don't see people the same. How we care about each other, the willingness to go the extra mile, the willingness to take the criticism, a life that bears a lot of fruit. Now, why is all this important? I want to share with you some interesting statistics. One of the statistics is that the number of persons aged 18 to 29 who grew up in church are now what? Leaving. I'm giving you the bad news first so that I can provide a way for the good news. Okay? Two-thirds of all young adults at one time or another, this is based on surveys and studies that have been done. And again, you got to look at how truthful people are. Two-thirds of young adults at one time or another that were brought up in the church will leave the church for a period of time. Those are some realities. If you look at how people affiliate and identify themselves, you will find that 23% of persons in most of the surveys, when they ask what your religious affiliation is, they'll say no affiliation. Now, be careful what that says and what it doesn't say. It says no affiliation. Because we also know that persons who claim to be devout atheists represent 3%, and committed agnostics are 5%. However, if you add all that together, that's 30%. So remember, Jesus said something. The harvest is plentiful. I just showed you how plentiful what it is. It's plentiful. But are we ready to go out? And what I mean by that, in our daily life, share, ask for prayer, work together, invite persons in to be a part. Because here's the good news. Recent study by Kahneman talked about resilient faith and resilient adults. And what are persons under 40 looking for? One, how can I live an authentic life for Jesus in this current world in which we live and in my workplace? That's interesting. Another one. How can I use my talents in service of Jesus? Younger persons want to be engaged in some things, if you can get away from the phone. Want to be engaged in something that makes a difference, in something that matters. This makes a difference. The gospel makes a difference. Another thing. You're going to love this one because we excel in this one. The need and the searching for intergenerational relationships. We got this. We got this. Notice, I can't help but do this. Look right here. And look right here. We just need to what? Get it together. Get it together. But no, we're good with this. We are making progress here. This is why I keep saying God is blessing us. Because, see, it's here. We can be part of this. But here's the other thing. And this is the thing that can be real heart-wrenching. Two, worship. It's a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. Now, we've been mixing it up a lot. And a lot of things flow in different ways. And we're experiencing a lot of the variety of worship. But what happens when it becomes a part of a fabric of who we are? Another. Notice I don't go into the text a whole lot anymore. And go into a whole lot of detail behind the scripture. Nothing wrong with that. It's important. But persons are crying out for how does this apply to my everyday life? Once that comes, you can dig deeper. And you'll want to dig deeper. But when we're really trying to make those first connections, how does this become relevant to our daily life? That relevancy is what is so critical. And then this last one, and this is the one where we always have to remember something. People watch everything that we do. There's always somebody watching. And sometimes they'll see us at our best moments, but they will also see us when we would rather they not see us. But here's the point, to see it all. So here's something that I want you to remember. Will we be called hypocrites? Yes. Are we inconsistent in what we do? Yes. But here's what I know. Remember this phrase, and I didn't come up with it. I can thank Facebook for it in a post that was given. We are not perfect, but we're redeemed. We're not perfect, but we're redeemed. And here's what I want us to think about as a church. Jesus asks us to do some things until he returns. Share the gospel, pray, fellowship with one another until he returns. And then what else? Lord's Supper until he returns. There's work to be done until he returns. So I want you to think about something. And we'll develop this out more later. We are a church which is first redeemed. We are a redeemed group of believers. We are a church that's resurrected. We serve the risen Savior. We will follow the Great Commission. And we are a church that has been and is being revived. So you remember the three R's? Well, let's think about these three R's. Redeemed, resurrected, and revived. And if we want to add a fourth one, we can put resilient in there too. That is who we are. That is who we are. God will give us ample opportunities every day to share his mercy, his grace, and his love. May we simply just do it. Do it. And as the children, do it with a smile. Do it with a smile. Our hymn of invitation or decision?
It's hymn 446, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. We'll sing the first verse of hymn 446. Let us stand and sing.
As we close today, may we be very mindful that we, as we walk out these doors, are entering the mission field. That as we walk out, there are plenty of opportunities to share God's love and God's grace and God's mercy. And I'm going to close with these words from the 10th chapter of Luke that are very, very appropriate. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He told them, everybody remember what it is? The harvest is abundant, but the workers are what? Few. We are those few workers who are charged to reap an abundant harvest. And we ask God's blessing and favor upon us as we do it. And God's people said, Amen.